leathery sack attached to the side of his pre-dark army boot. It was torn apart by the AK-47, but little squiggling things dangled from the base, dripping thick, viscous fluid.
Some sort of egg.
He cut it off with his knife. Then he scraped the residue off the blade with the sole of his boot and ground it flat on the rough metal floor.
Shit-faced little bastard must squirt out eggs when it's about to chill. I heard tell of a mutie down Mexway that did that.
Struggling to his feet, Campbell sat down again.
Okay, I want this freaking wag checked from top to bottom. You assholes miss an egg, and we're in deep shit, so don't fuck up.
Over the next hour, the Blues looked hard for any more of the black lumps, checking every nook and crevice inside the wag, from under the dashboard to the speakers of the radio, and even inside the barrel of the 25mm cannon. They found nothing.
We're clean. Black dust. That was a nasty bastard. Sure up it was a solo. Pack of those could chill an army of Blues.
Shut up.
Campbell gingerly massaged his throbbing ankle. It hurt inside, and he was frightened it was more than just a sprain.
And somebody make more coffee.
Way out of sight under the wag, attached to the armor flange, safe behind a wheel assembly, was a small leathery lump coated with a mucus-like substance. Speckled with tiny dots of black blood, the sphere pulsated steadily as it absorbed the excess heat radiating from the big diesel engines, growing larger and heavier by the minute. Walking his tired animal, Baron Henderson slowly proceeded down the pre-dark street through the maze of ruins that surrounded Green Coveville, the rising sun casting a reddish light over the skyscrapers and office buildings. The man felt as if he were being watched from 100 different locations, and quite possibly he was, just not necessarily from the outer guards of the ville. Rats scurried underfoot. He had heard of outlanders who preferred to live in the ruins and warned the ville of approaching enemies to get a reward of the supplies when the invaders were chilled. The defensive weapons of Green Cove were as mysterious as they were known to be deadly. Henderson assumed it was merely some sort of poison gas or snipers with silenced long blasters, but the local sec-men would surely have nothing to fear from a lone rider. The Casanova sec-man, who had escaped death at Front Royal with the Baron, had proved less than enthusiastic about his new plan, and so had been set free from his service. The former Baron was wearing their blasters, and was dressed in their patched clothing, his fine suit of silk thrown into the bushes. Henderson had washed in a creek that morning to cut the smell, since he no longer had access to perfume. His infamous box of jolt and snuff was hidden in the hollow of a tree a few miles farther into the forest. It had been the supreme sacrifice, but revenge was worth any price. Chewing on a piece of jerky, Henderson walked his stallion down the exact middle of the road, so that nobody could possibly think he was trying to sneak toward the ville. Gaining the trust of Baron Armand Duquesne was of primary importance at this stage of the negotiations. Afterward, things would rapidly change, but that time hadn't yet come. This day, Henderson was all smiles and brotherhood. The ruins stopped abruptly, and the high walls of the ville rose from the rubble-strewed streets and yards. The debris made it damn near impossible for Coldhearts to charge at the ville through all the wreckage and rubble. Rusty strips of metal, railroad tracks, led to a large metal-bound door on the north side, and to the south a river flowed through a thick metal grillwork. The main gate was fronted by concrete road dividers, again making it tough for enemies to swiftly reach the ville. The door itself was a solid array of barbed arrowheads, so tightly packed it was impossible to tell if the material underneath was wood or iron, or whatever. Composed of bricks and cinder blocks combined in a random pattern, the walls of the ville rose 15 feet skyward. Armed with shotguns, sec-men stood guard behind the top, while wooden towers rose tall within the city, more sec-men watching the wall and the ruins beyond with binocs. Again, Henderson was impressed, although he kept the feelings from his face. This was a fine ville, well designed and built, tough for any invader to attack. He trembled with anticipation to make it his. The wall guards were tracking him by now. Henderson stopped well away from the front gate, keeping a grip on the reins of his horse. To the best of their knowledge, he was just a white hair solo coming to trade or beg.
What do you want?
Caught by surprise, Henderson now saw there was a man-sized door in the main gates. Standing there was a huge, bald sec man dressed in old clothes and sporting a homemade scattergun.
Morning.
The Baron smiled as he walked closer.
I am Baron Henderson of Casanovaville, and need to speak with Baron Duquesne immediately. Fetch him.
The sec man threw back his head and guffawed. A few more on the walls also laughed, and Henderson had to fight to keep from drawing a blaster and chilling the fools.
You have a choice, boy. I am either a harmless crazy or Baron Henderson with important news for Duquesne. So choose well, ass. It could mean the total destruction of your fucking rat pit of a ville.
The hairless guard stopped laughing and cocked back the hammers on his crude blaster. He pointed the barrels directly at Henderson.
Or you're a shammer trying to trick us. Trying to trick us out of food or ammo. Should chill you now.
Do it!
The Baron sneered openly at the man.
You're obviously too stooped to deserve to live. Do it, I command you!
His face contorted in rage, the guard aimed the blaster and braced himself against the recoil of the colossal homemade.
Nobody commands anything here but me.
The huge gate swung open wide, exposing a second wall of spiked wooden beams. That imposing barrier was raised out of sight to the sound of squeaking pulleys, and Baron Armand Duquesne strode out, flanked by a squad of sec men armed with bolt-action long blasters. Aside from the Baron himself, all of the men were shaved bald, making them appear nearly identical. The sec men marched in step around their Baron, the blasters gleaming with polish. Henderson admired their precision and couldn't wait until they were his bodyguards. Baron Armand Duquesne was a huge man, with a dense mane of red hair flowing onto his wide shoulders, a matching mustache and beard covering most of his features. He was dressed as casually as the troops and carried two hand cannons, the weapons reversed in their holsters, the butts sticking toward the front. A jagged scar sliced across his face and down his neck, a thin white streak in the red beard growing over the ancient wound.
My lord, I...
The Baron cut him off with a wave.
How interesting. A Baron riding alone without any sec men.
The man and his guard stayed well within the array of concrete dividers, even though they outmanned and outgunned the lone white hair.
But I know your face. Your ville is to the east and north of here. Castle Nova, or something like that.
Henderson stroked the muzzle of his mount to quiet its nerves.
It was called Casanova. Not anymore.
Changed the name, eh?
He shrugged.
It's a baron's choice to call his home anything he likes. What happened to your guards? Plague?
The wall gunners grew tense and worked the bolts on their weapons. The assortment of deadly diseases that had swept the world after Skydark were mostly gone these days, but outbreaks of the black cough or blood fever still occurred. The only cure was to burn everything and run for the horizon. Now the old man noticed that more than a few of the bald men on the wall had lifted into view glass bottles filled with brownish liquid. Rags had been stuffed into the openings. In horror, Henderson realized they were getting ready to firebomb him out of existence.
I didn't change the name. It's gone. The whole bastardville is gone.
The sec men murmured in surprise, but didn't lower the Molotovs or blasters.
Muties?
It was a natural question. With any major trouble, a person always checked for muties first. The animals were the worst. They sometimes were so bizarre-looking, a person didn't know what part to shoot at until it was too late. Eagles with tentacles, jellyfish that leaped from trees, and it was getting worse all the time.
Not muties, or cold hearts, or a wildfire. It was melted. Melted like candle wax by a sky machine.
What brand of hot horse shit are you trying to sell? There aren't any more sets, everybody knows that.
Henderson released the stallion and walked dangerously closer.
My ville and everybody inside it was reduced to smoke in a matter of seconds by some pre-doc weapon operated by Front Royal.
More murmurs rose from the crowd of guards, disbelief openly battling with raw fear. Henderson had been counting on this. The common hatred of technology ran deep in people these days. Science had smashed the world, giving them muties, terrible diseases, and a host of other deadly things aside from the acid rain and rad pits. Even simple machines like WAGs were viewed with suspicion by many folks,